Today is the 15th of November, 2019, the 17th of Marcheshvan, and we are halacha day of the third parak of Devarim. Mostly it's in Parshas Devarim, but the big halachic thing that I could find was in the beginning of Parshas Va'aschanan. Because the Gemara makes a comment. The Pasuk says, starts off by saying, Va'aschanan el Hashem, that Moshe beseeches. Beseeches Hashem, calls out to him, Hashem our God, right? You're the one, you've begun to show me your greatness and your strong hand, who's like you, and now let me go into the land of Israel. So the Gemara in Maseches Brachos comments that we see from here that when a person is about to offer tfilos, it's part of page 958, although we're about to be out of the Chumash, right? So Moshe davens to Hashem by saying you're so great and wonderful and who's powerful, who's like you in the things that you do and in your strength, let me now go and pass into the land of Israel. That's the pasuk here. So the Gemara makes a comment that any time a person is going to make a request from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be introduced. It has to be introduced by words of praise towards Hashem. You can't just go in and start asking for things. One first has to go ahead and praise Hashem. So that is a halacha that's mentioned in the Gemara, and in fact it is quoted in the Rambam. Now, one could just look at that and say, well, okay, so that's the way that the Torah was, that's the way that the Tefillah was established. So if you look in Arshmon Esrei, in fact the Torah Tamima, when he quotes that Gemara, the Torah Tamima on the bottom comments that it's based on this idea that when the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, when they established the Shmon Esrei that we say, the first three brachos are blessings of praise, and then the next 13 are blessings of requests, and then the last three are blessings of thanks. Now that we got something, so now we can thank you for it. In fact, the Gemara makes a comment that's like a servant who goes in front of their master and makes a request. And first they sort of praise him that they have the ability to do it, and then they ask what they have the ability to do, and then they thank them that they granted it. So that's the way our approach is supposed to be to the Shmona Esrei, which in fact is really 19 brachos, not just 18 brachos, right? So the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, so the Rambam makes a comment that this is the way of Tefillah. Now he mentions that, it's interesting, he mentions that in the context of a person's daily obligation to pray, a person's daily obligation to daven to Hashem. What does that mean? So it's not necessarily what we think it means. What is a person Torah obligated to do? What's the basis for tefillah? That is one tefillah per day. That's actually the din d'oraisa of tefillah. Then we add it on by saying, oh, we'll daven three times a day, and etc. So the Rambam makes a comment, and he also says, by the way, it's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grum anymore. That's not a time-bound mitzvah. That's a mitzvah that you have to do at some point over the course of the day, but is not relegated to a specific time frame. So therefore, women are going to be as obligated in that as men. So there is an idea of women davening, but beyond women davening, they should at least say something over the course of the day that would fulfill the requirement of davening. And what is that requirement? So the Rambam, right off the bat, mentions this. That you have to, so he says it's not enough to just daven to Hashem, so according to that idea, it's not enough to just say, thank you Hashem for giving me the day. It is to mention praise of Hashem, the request, and then the thanks that comes to a close. All that should be part of the daily tefillah, at least according to the Shitas Rambam, according to the position of Maimonides. So that's one idea, right? So that we're setting it up that it has to be in that particular order. And they add in as well that, by the way, is probably the basis for Psukei Dezimra as well. Psukei Dezimra has a store. What's that? Those are the Psukim that we begin with Baruch Sha'amar and go to Yishtabach. That section is known as Psukei Dezimra. And those are known as Psukim of praise, verses of davening, of praising Hashem, also to set us up for the requests that are going to come later in over the course of Shmona Esrei. Good? So far, so good. So
isn't the Shema is obligation of twice a day? That's
yeah, but that's not a tefillah, really. It's an obligation. We wouldn't qualify that as tefillah. Okay. So the Gemara then two daf that, well, that was on Gemara in Brachos daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara two daf and later on Lamed Daled Aleph also then makes a comment and says, by the way, you're not allowed to make specific requests during those first three brachos. Those first three brachos should be straight praise. If you have a request for Hashem, so then that should that needs to go and take place later. That shouldn't be interruption there. So the Gemara, Tosfos makes a comment and says, well, wait a second. We do make requests during those three brachos, not necessarily in the three brachos themselves. If you go through there, it's really praising Hashem for what He does, not making requests for what He should do. But if we think throughout the year, can you think of any time that we make a request during those first three brachos? Dun, 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 dun. Yes, very good.
Right now.
Well, the tefillah for rain, what we just add, Mashiach Baruch Hamid HaGeshem, is not a request for rain, it's a recognition of God's power to bring the rain. That itself is not really a request, but tefillas Geshem and tefillas Tal. So there we say, at the end of those, we talk about how wonderful rain is, or how wonderful Tal, you know, provided that it doesn't fall when I want to have a baseball game or something like that. But rain is considered to be wonderful. And therefore we say, at the end, I forget the exact phrasing, but therefore we ask Hashem that you should bring the rain, lebracha v'lo leklala, as a blessing and not for a curse, l'chaim v'lo lemaves, and for life and not for death. And I forgot what the third phrase is. So that's a request that is being made over the course of those first three brachas. So says Tosfos, how can we do that? Why is that considered to be, why is that allowed? And I don't know, I can think of maybe a few any other examples. I mean, during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add in a bunch of piyutim then. I'm not sure if any of them contain a request within them. At least, I don't have it in front of me. I think Tosfos had one other clear example that we do make those requests. It's just not coming to mind right now. So why is that okay? So the Tosfos answers, or Rabbeinu Tam answers, that no, that's okay because when it's a request on behalf of the Rabbim, it's allowed. Why should that be an exception? Why should it be okay that to add that in? So he explains, it's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, I believe.
So where are they added in between the first and second bracha, or second and third?
What?
In between the first and second brachas, or the second and third?
It's added in as part of the liturgy. I mean, in the middle of the second is where we say Tfilas Geshem and Tfilas Tal. And the other example that Tosfos gives is the idea of Zacharinu L'chaim. All right, so we mention over the course of the during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So we say Zacharinu L'chaim, El Chafetz B'chaim, Chasfeinu B'Sefer Chaim. Remember us for life and write us in the Book of Life that we can continue to serve you. So why is that okay? All right, that's a request. So Tosfos answers, and I'm just having trouble finding, because I remember it was in the Mishnah Berurah also. Where is it here? That if it's for the Rabbim, it's eluding me right now, it used to be here, that if it's for the Rabbim, if it's for a plurality of people, that's okay. Why should that make a difference? Why should that change anything? Because that itself, the fact that we're asking Hashem to take care of the world, to take care of all of us, not me, but all of us, so that inherently is its own praise. That inherently is its own shevach, praise of Hashem, that He does take care of all of us, and therefore that could fit into that first section. So that's why that then is okay. All right, we're good so far. So far, so good. All right, so a couple of other notes along these lines. So the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah then discusses, okay, well, what additions, or in what way can one make additions to the other, to the rest of the Brachos HaShemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, but just on that note about when we add things to the first section, so can you add personal things in a Rabbim way, right? So having trouble with Parnassa, but the economy is down. Everybody's having trouble with Parnassa. So can I then, that can give me a right to include that in the first three brachos? And Hashem who gives a Parnassa to all of His people, and wink, wink, can you include me, all of us, that we should all get, we should all be entitled to Parnassa. Would that then be okay? So there is a Tosfos in Megillah that implies that it might be okay. There is a commentary in the back of the Shulchan Aruch called the Eshel Avram Mibuchash, there's an Eshel Avram that's known as the Prima Gadim, and then there's like a separate one. I'm not sure why the name is so popular, Eshel Avram, but there's a second Eshel Avram, also in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. It's also quoted regularly, known as the Buchacher Rav, and he says, no, that the Minig is not like that, and he says even more than that. He says that if you add something in there that shouldn't be added in, that is a hefsik. That is considered a separation. You're not allowed to just go off and start talking about other things during Shmona Esrei, right? So if you add something in inappropriately, that could be a problem. And he adds it. Maybe you should even have to repeat Shmona Esrei for it, because you're not saying the correct nusach. You're not saying the correct order of things. So that's all right, so that's with regards to adding things in the first few brachas. So I would suggest not going there. So then the Gemara continues in Maseches Avodah Zarah and says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda. Well, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Halacha shol adam sracha b'shamei atfila. That the halacha is that a person could add in their personal requests during the bracha of shamei atfila. Right? So we're used to that idea. So then the Gemara continues on and says, and Amar Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Shmuel bar shilas yishmei de Rav, another opinion in the name of Rav, even though we say shol adam sracha b'shamei atfila, even though a person could make the request during shamei atfila, about imbal lomar b'sof kol brachu bracha me'im kol brachu bracha, oimer. If he wants to say something at the end of every bracha, he is permitted to do so. So, but as long as it is relevant to that bracha. So, for example, if he has trouble that he's not able to in Rashi's example here, let's see here, main kol bracha bracha. So, imaya mishkach tamudo. So, marach mechonin hadas. So, if he's forgetting his learning, not that that would apply to anybody here, but if we're forgetting his learning, so then you should add that into the bracha of Chonin Hadas, the first of those brachos. Similarly, in Baal Tshuvahu, if you want to do tshuva, Marich Baharotze B'Tshuva. So then you, in the bracha that is talks about tshuva, about repentance, so then you could add in a little bit about your own repentance. Interestingly, in Shomei Atfil, if you look in the Siddurim, there is actually an idea. The Mishnah Berurah mentions it, and we'll get to it a little bit more. I just wanted to point this out, that there is a idea that specifically if one did a certain chait, if one did a sin, and they want to ask atonement for it, you know, like that, I don't want to wait till Yom Kippur. So there is in Shomei Atfila a text for asking specifically for forgiveness. It seems like it's going against Rashi. It's in Shomei Atfila, it's not in Rotzei B'Tshuva. But it says, Ana Hashem Chatasi Adisi Vashati Levenachem Yom Hayisi Al Adama Ad Yom Hazeh. I've always sinned before you. And you can even add in, Uvefrat Bechet X. Right? Specifically, this sin. And Ana Hashem Haseh Lama Hashem HaKadol is properly, please forgive me, etc. So that's an added text that one could add in. Similarly, has a text here for Parnassa as well. So we'll get to that shortly. Whether that, how appropriate or how often the text should be said. So we have this first opinion name of Rav, that if you want to add something in, you should do it in the bracha where it's relevant to. Okay? That's halacha number one of Rav. Halacha number two of Rav, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, Av HaVish Amar Shavol Adam Tzorach V'Shamei Atfila, even though a person should make the request during Shamei Atfila, Im Yishlo Chola B'Soch Beso, if somebody has a sick person in their house, Omer b'Birchas Cholim. He could say it in Birchas Cholim, in Tzarech L'Parnas, if he had need for livelihood, so Omer b'Birchas Hashanim. You could say it in Birchas Hashanim. So that's halacha number two. Then is he saying the same exact thing? Right, halacha number one is, if you want to come and add something, you should add at the end of each bracha. Right. Halacha number two is, that if you know a person that is sick, you should say it in Birchas Cholim. If you know a person that is that needs Parnasa, you should say it in Birchas Hashanim. No. There's just different examples, right? But in terms of the halacha, and there's one more. Let's just get back to that in a second. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Afapi Sha'am Rusho Adam Sarachem B'Shamei Atfila. Though we say a person can say in the Shamei Atfila, Avalim Bal Lomar Achar Tfilasa Afilu B'Seder Yom Kippurim Omer. But if you want to say something after Shmona Esrei, even as long as something the Vidu of Yom Kippur, you're allowed to do it then. Okay, so you could always add something in, plus we're going to see in a moment that there might be things that are inappropriate to add during Shmona Esrei. You could always add it at the end of Shmona Esrei. That would still be okay. But what about these first two rulings of Rav? Again, number one is, if you come to say, if you have something to add, you can say it at the end of each bracha. Mm-hmm. And number two is, a person who needs parnasa, or a person that needs to be healed, so you can say it during those brachas.
Well, healing is specific. It's
Okay.
You can refer to the bottom of the page. What are the names of the people?
Right. Well, that's because there's something that's added in there, correct? And perhaps with the name. In fact, we sort of were at this halacha once upon a time, because the halacha is that you don't have to add the name if the person is right there, and that's learned out from a story from Pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Baaloscha, when Moshe davens on behalf of Miriam. He just says, "Hashem, please heal her." He doesn't say, "Please heal Miriam Bas Yocheved." He doesn't say that. Why? Because it was obvious who he was referring to. She was right there next to him. So we gave a share on that topic when we learned Baaloscha, which is now, I guess, almost a year ago already. Available on YU Torah, if anybody wants to take a look. I checked this morning, so it's like I was looking at this. I'm like, I think we talked about this once. So that was what he discovered. But anyways, the Bach on the page of the tour, and then it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as well, says that these two. And by the way, just keep in mind, Rav in the Gemara is there's sometimes a question asked when Rav is quoted. Why did? Are you sure Rav said that? Rav said the same thing in another context, implying that Rav never repeated himself, if it was the same halacha. Specifically, it's said about Rav. And I remember one time we got in a karasa gemara like that when I was in Rosh Hashanah year. Rosh Hashanah made the comment, "That's amazing. Rav gave shir for all those years and never repeated himself. I repeat myself every week. I give the same shir over and over again." But you see that if Rav is being quoted as two things that are similar, so that means that they're teaching different things. So the Bach says, yeah, he's teaching both what and where. They're two different halachos. Number one is the where, right? He says that you should say it in the following places. And the what is only if there is a urgent need. Only if there is a need at that time are you permitted to add it into those brachos. Meaning, if you have someone who's sick, add it during that spot. If you have someone who specifically needs a pranasa, add it during that spot. So based on that, the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment. Pranasa is livelihood. Person needs livelihood, so she'd add during that time. If there's a specific need. So the Mishnah Berurah makes a point here. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Yud Tes Sif Aleph, Im Ratzel Lahosif V'chol Bracha Me'am Tzayisa Me'ina Bracha Mosif, that if anybody wants to add in for the bracha, for something contained with the subject matter of that bracha, you can add it in. So Ketzad, so for, like, what would be an example? Hayil Chola Mevakish Alev Rachmim Birchas Refein. If a person has a sick person in front of them, so they could request, or knows specifically of a sick person, they could request mercy for that person during the bracha of Refein. So the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment, I am Primogadim Shekasav the Dafka Im Hayil Lo, that if he has someone who is sick, or knows specifically of an urgent issue. V'chein b'parnasa, dafkim tzarech l'parnasa. If there's a specific need for parnasa, aval enu reshai levakish rachmi barachim emtzi iso ala atit. But you can't do it for something in the future. Meaning, and let me continue to have parnasa. Let me continue to have good health. He says, that's not shalo yichalas, that I won't get sick. V'shalo yichzer lachmo, that I won't be lacking for bread. I won't be lacking for anything. Things like that. As opposed to in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah, so then you can even add things in the future. I mean, I know my contract is coming up. Let me have a bracha for Parnasa. Right? That could be done during the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. Okay? So, what else do I want to comment? I can't even read notes today. What else do I want to comment on? Another thing that the Mishnah Berurah adds in, that we alluded to before, your tzrachav. So he adds in, tov lehisvados b'shomei tefillah, v'yomer chatasi avisi u'bashati, that it is also good to do vidui during that time and talk about the fact that one is sin. V'lishol amazonos afilu hu imu'ashin, to ask for parnasi, even if you're already wealthy. If you have a new sin, you should say that sin explicitly b'tefillah hakudemes etzlo. V'yomer tefillah, in the tefillah that is closest to it, maybe cry a little bit as well. Fine. So, but the tefillah is printed in the siddurim in the bracha of Shomei Tefillah. So the Aruch HaShulchan adds in an interesting idea that all of these additions should not become. You shouldn't do it in every Shmona Esrei. Why should? Why would you think that it is? Why should he not do it every time one says Shmona Esrei? It could still be meaningful. I mean, Shmona Esrei itself is meaningful. Why would we think that there might be a problem with saying it always?
thing from Moshe Rabbeinu. He requested several times of Hashem to enter the land.
Hashem ultimately told him no. It's a good idea. It's actually this parsha also, but no. That's not what I was thinking. Maybe it has something to do with that. But I think the Aruch HaShulchan suggestion is because the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah established a text for Tefillah. Right? And if you're going to say, yeah, but I'm going to always include the following thing, you are, in essence, adding to their text of Tefillah. Which is inappropriate to do. So Aruch HaShulchan says that if you're going to add in, especially a textual addition to Shemoneh Esrei, which is in the text of the Shemoneh Esrei, it should only be done 2 out of 3 tefillahs. It should be one tefillah a day. You shouldn't do it, right? Also, I would add that what you were saying, that it has to do, it will become kind of rote. Yeah, I hold it. It becomes the Tehillim after davening problem. What's the Tehillim after davening problem? So when Eretz Yisrael, when they're having problems in Medina Yisrael, you know, during the Second Intifada, which already 20 years ago, so people, you know, it became common in many shuls that were going to say Tehillim following davening for Eretz Yisrael, and it never stopped. Why did it never stop? Because you can never say, oh, well, Israel is safe now, right? Right? There's no point of saying that. So therefore, it's become like this rote thing. And it's very, and anybody and woe to the person who says, you know, maybe we should start leaving that. What, you think Eretz Yisrael is totally safe now that we don't need to do this, right? So that's become a problem. So in order to avoid that issue, the Aruch HaShulchan says, oh, you should leave it out of at least one of your tefillos once a day. Is this considered a good idea or perhaps not a good idea? So there is a comment from the Yaros Tvash. Anybody know who wrote the Yaros Tvash? His mother didn't call him the Yaros Tvash. It's Yonason Ivishitz. Yonason Ivishitz wrote many, many Sfarim. One of them, as the Yaros Tvash, is on Chumash. So he includes, but he adds in this idea, Yasim Kol Migu, here, I see it here, there's a footnote here in the Pisgei Tshuvos that quotes it at length, where he says, well, yes, that during Shemayat Tefillah you should add these things, even if don't worry if it's a small thing or a big thing, you know, like a small thing that the Giants should win a regular season game, a big thing that they should win a playoff game, you know, something like that, right? Lo yivatzir davar masha lo yispal Hashem, you shouldn't say, oh, it's not something I'm going to daven for. Im tzarech shiyaducha la'atzmo obanav avnosav, im tzarech l'schora, you should daven to, right? If you have something tzarech shidduch la'atzmo, if you need a shidduch for yourself, for your children, if you require l'schora for parnasa, you should daven, you know, for livelihood, you should daven to Hashem. Kol shel davar, this is the rule, ein davar masha ritzono las. That there is nothing that you should want to do that day that you should feel nervous davening, that you shouldn't daven to Hashem for parnasa in that thing. One might even say, if it's not worth davening for, it ain't worth doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe. Or if it's worth doing, it's worth davening for. Yeah. One or the other, right? That's a good, I like that rule. And he adds in also an idea that that's also okay, that one should also daven for success in spiritual things. Where is that? Oh, sorry, it's a little bit later on. It's not, he's not quoted in the Yaros Tvash, but he quotes that in the next footnote, that there's a special chashivas that when a person davens for ruchnias, a person davens for help in spiritual matters. He says, "Akol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim," but and got to work that out. Okay, you know, got to work that out, right? But there certainly is an idea of davening for success and learning and things like that. There's a famous story that when a young Shimon Shkup, a young Rav Shimon Shkup was one of the major Roshi Yeshiva in Europe, actually was in America also for a little bit, but in the pre-war was the Rav in Grodno, Shar Torah, where Rabbi Steinberg learned, and where his kids learn now, is Rav Shimon Shkup's son-in-law started Shar Torah in Queens, and that's sort of the continuation of his legacy. But the story goes, as a young man who he went to learn in Volozhin, and he had, you know, obviously no money, and he's described that he, you know, his shoelaces were used to tie his soles to the shoes, not just to sew them together. And he was a very young, the story goes, he was a very young man, like 10 years old, as learning in Volozhin, and he started crying one night in the Beis Medrash, and the Netziv came over to him and said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I'm stuck on this Rashbam. It's a Rashbam on Maseches Baba Basra, and I don't get it. I don't understand what it's talking about. So Rashbam is instead of Rashi. In some Masechtos, most prominently in Baba Basra, there's no Rashi. Rather, it's his grandson, the Rashbam, which is the main commentary. I don't understand this Rashbam." And the Netziv said, "Ah, that Rashbam, we actually know which one it is. I heard which one it is. I wrote it down in the book where I have the story, where I saw the story. I forgot which, I don't have it in front of me. But his the Tziv said to him, "Oh, that Rashbam, I remember I davened at the kever of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who was the founder of the yeshiva. I davened at his grave many times so that I'd be able to understand that Rashbam." Now, the story doesn't end with him explaining it to him, so I'm not sure. But that's the story. I mean, davening for Ruchnius is certainly something that Hashem appreciates. And just one more thought on this, about language. What language does one have to daven in? So I didn't say anything specifically, very quickly, but I didn't say anything specifically about your personal requests being in any language. So the assumption is that it could be, certainly with a minyan. There is an idea that when you daven with a minyan, the tefillos go straight to Hashem as opposed to by yourself, and Malachim brings it up. And the problem is the Malachim don't understand English. Only Hashem understands English. So perhaps only English requests should be made in a minyan. There's such an idea out there. I would only say that if a person is capable of doing it in Hebrew, but you could always give it a try. But there is an interesting comment from the Chacham Sofer. Do I have it here? Yeah, that's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. That one of the we know that in the early reform, one of the first reforms that were made is that they started changing the liturgy over to German, whatever language that they were speaking. You should speak the secular language. So you see there, during that era, in the 1800s, like there's very, Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Akiva Eger, they're very strong against this, against davening in other languages, because they saw it as putting up a wall against the reformers, against those that were attempting to change the Yiddishkeit. So the Mishnah Berurah actually here quotes in Kuf Aleph Sif Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah, so he quotes this idea. And the Shulchan Aruch itself says, "Yochel lispal b'chol lashon sheyirtzeh." A person can daven in any language they want. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "U'mitzvah min hamufkar hu dafka b'lashon hakodesh." The best thing is to do it in lashon hakodesh. It says, "And look in the tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, she'harich b'kama rayos d'mashe tirul lispal b'chol lashon haynu dafka ba'akray." The idea that they permit you to daven in any language, that's only once in a while. This is talking about like saying the Shmon Esrei in another language, right? But he says, "Aval likvoa bekviya temidis lahamid shliach tzibur ulashkiach lashon hakodesh l'gamri zem iefshar b'shum ofen." But to establish a kvias, a to do it regularly yourself, and to like set up a minyan that way, that we're gonna be the English speaker's minyan, and we're gonna daven in English, that the Chassam Sofer says is inappropriate. But then you're going to forget Lashon HaKodesh. It's not going to be an impotent. You're going to forget Lashon HaKodesh. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago on the Headlines blog, podcast called Headlines. You're going to want to check it out. That comes out every Friday afternoon, Motzi Shabbos, or Dov Lichtenstein. You could find this a couple of weeks ago. They talked about tefillah. I guess it must have been before Yontif. Talked about a couple of things having to do with tefillah. And they interviewed Rabbi Leff about these types of shilas. I mean, what about davening, skipping and skipping some parts and saying less but davening slowly? And what about saying things in other languages? So he added in that anything that's going to keep you from advancing, he advised against. It's a very interesting idea. And if we say, "Oh yeah, daven in English, no problem," so then what's going to be the impetus to learn Hebrew and to improve and to do better? Right, so that's what this Chassam Sofer seems to be driving at. That once in a while, certainly the idea exists, but to say, "All right, and that's it, I'm done, and I'm not going to seek to improve," so that the Chassam Sofer seems to be speaking out against. Okay, so anyways, before one davens, make sure we start with words of praise. That specifically is learned out from our pasuk. Afterwards, during the middle section, that's when you could add in personal things. If they're connected to a specific bracha and it's urgent, so that's fine. If not, it should be added into Shemaya Tefila. The idea of vidui, the idea we also talked about, and then the idea of doing it in any language. So for these temporary type of things, so you can do it in any language. All right, Yashikach, a guten Shabbos to all.